Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme, text 17. I'll read the Sanskrit first. If you know the Sanskrit, you can repeat after me. Sahasrayuga paryantam, sahasrayuga paryantam, ahayat brahmano viduhu, Aryat Brahmano Vidahu, Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam, Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam, Teho Ratra Vido Janaha, Teho Ratra Vido Janaha. The translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day. And such also is the duration of his night. So the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The duration of the material universe is limited. It is manifested in cycles of kalpas. A kalpa is a day of Brahma. And one day of Brahma consists of 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas or ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. The cycle of Satya is characterized by virtue, wisdom, and religion, there being practically no ignorance and vice. And the yuga lasts 1,728,000 years. In the Treta Yuga, vice is introduced. And this yuga lasts 1,296,000 years. In the Dwapara Yuga, there is an even greater decline in virtue and religion, vice increasing. And this yuga lasts 864,000 years. And finally, in Kali Yuga, the yuga we have now been experiencing over the past 5,000 years, there is an abundance of strife, ignorance, irreligion, and vice. True virtue being practically non-existent, and this yuga lasts 432,000 years. In Kali Yuga, vice increases to such a point that at the termination of the yuga, the Supreme Lord Himself appears as the Kalki avatar, vanquishes the demons, saves His devotees, and commences another Satya Yuga. Then the process is set rolling again. These 4 yugas, rotating 1,000 times, comprise one day of Brahma, and the same number comprise one night. Brahma lives 100 of such years, and then dies. These 100 years by earth calculation total to 311,040,000,000,000 earth years. By these calculations, the life of Brahma seems fantastic and interminable, but from the viewpoint of eternity, it is as brief as a lightning flash. In the causal ocean, there are innumerable Brahmas rising and disappearing like bubbles in the Atlantic. Brahma and his creation are all part of the material universe, and therefore they are in constant flux. In the material universe, not even Brahma is free from the process of birth, old age, disease, and death. Brahma, however, is directly engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord in the management of this universe. Therefore, he at once attains liberation. Elevated sannyasis are promoted to Brahma's particular planet, Brahmaloka, which is the highest planet in the material universe and which survives all the heavenly planets in the upper strata of the planetary system. But in due course, Brahma and all the inhabitants of Brahmaloka are subject to death according to the law of material nature. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we can see that the Vedic concept of time is cyclical. And we experience different kinds of cycles in time. For example, each day we experience the cycle of day and night, and we adjust our behavior accordingly. During the days, most of us are awake and active, and during the night, most of us are sleeping in our sleeping condition. We're not aware of our waking situation. We may be involved in different kinds of dream situations. And then comes another day, another night. So we are familiar with this daily cycle. We're also familiar with the yearly cycle. In the temperate parts of the world, there is spring, and then summer, and then fall, and then winter. And we adjust our activities according to the season of the year. We adjust what we wear. We adjust what we do in the different seasons. We take these things into account. We also experience economic cycles. If you look at the history of the economic situation of a country, you'll see it goes through cycles of depression, where economic activity goes down. And then after some time, the economic activity increases again. And then eventually it will go down, and then it will increase again. And people adjust their expectations accordingly to where they are in this cycle of increasing and decreasing economic activity. So many ancient people were aware of larger cycles of time, and they understood how to behave and what to expect in these different cycles. For example, the ancient Mayan people of Central America had a cyclical concept of time with vast cycles. And one of them came to an end on December 21st. So many people were thinking that perhaps everything was going to end at that time. Actually, a little earlier this year, I was in India, and I was giving lectures at universities in South India. I was speaking about my book, Forbidden Archaeology. Of course, we were hearing about the Vedic time cycles, Reeves. Human beings were present in all these vast cycles of time, going back millions and millions of years. It's an idea that's quite different from the modern scientific account, which tells us humans have existed for less than 200,000 years on this planet. But the Vedic histories tell a different story, that humans have always existed on this earth as long as it's been here for many millions of years. And actually, there is some archaeological evidence that's consistent with what these ancient Vedic histories tell us. That's not the main topic of my lecture tonight, however. If you're interested in that, you can see books that I've written, like Forbidden Archaeology. But I was giving lectures like this at universities in South India earlier this year. But one of the most common questions I got when it came time for questions to be asked from the students was, is there going to be doomsday in 2012? Now, you might ask, why were they asking this question? It seems that all over India on all the different cable networks, and they were showing this film, 2012, where one of the famous scenes is this huge tidal wave washing up, covering all of India and going up into the Himalayan mountains, where some monks are standing there watching the big wall of water coming. So, so they asked, is there going to be doomsday in 2012? And I told them, that's coming, but not anytime soon. So I told them, they can register for next year's classes. I mean, we may be laughing, but according to the Vedic cyclical concept of time, there are periodic devastations called pralayas that do wipe out life on Earth, after which the Earth has to be repopulated by the demigods, the higher beings, the Prajapatis, the generators of population. And these devastations or pralayas occur in a cycle. They occur periodically. In the verse that I read tonight from the Bhagavad Gita, we learned about the Kalpa, or the day of Brahma. The Kalpa, or the day of Brahma, is divided into 14 Manvantara periods. They each last about 300 million years. According to the Vedic cosmological calendar, we are now in the seventh Manvantara period. Each Manvantara period is made up of 71 cycles of four yugas, which Srila Prabhupada described in his purport to this verse. So 71 cycles of four yugas equals one manvantara period. And according to the Vedic cosmological calendar, we are now in the Kali Yuga of the 28th yuga cycle of the seventh manvantara period. And each cycle of four yugas lasts about 4,320,000 years. So if you figure it out, if we're in the 28th yuga cycle, that means the manvantara period began about 120 million years ago. And it will end in about 180 million years. And at that time, there will be a pralaya, a devastation where a cosmic ocean will flood the earth and life will be wiped out. So it's not a joke. It really is going to happen, but not, you know, it wasn't scheduled to happen in, according to the Vedic calendar, in December 2012. Now, we are, however, in Kali Yuga. And according to the Vedic literature, the Kali Yuga is a time of increasing environmental and social disturbance. You know, for example, in the 12th canto of the Bhagavat Purana or the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are descriptions of what will happen as the Kali Yuga progresses. The Kali Yuga began about 5,000 years ago, and it will go for another 427,000 years. And as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in his purport, it's a time where there's a lot of vice, a lot of disturbance. But more details about what will happen as the Kali Yuga progresses are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12th canto. And it says, for example, that the deserts will increase, rainfall will decrease, there will be climatic disturbances, extremes of heat and cold, there will be social and political disturbances, the taxes will become very high, and people will become very upset with their governments because of the high levels of taxation. And there will be a lot of unrest among the population. There'll be a lot of violence. And so, does it sound familiar? Yeah, we don't have to look very far to see that these symptoms of Kali Yuga are increasing. So although the world wasn't scheduled to end in December, on December 21st, 2012, as some people might have been thinking, it is a time when we could expect more environmental disturbance. You know, we see periodically there are floods, there are earthquakes, there are tsunamis, there are different types of environmental disturbances. So in Kali Yuga, those will continue and they will actually increase. And we also see a lot of social disturbance. I don't have to catalog it for you. You know, if you're at all attentive to what's going on in the world, you can see it yourself. Now, according to, going back to, say, the ancient Mayan people, actually I was, during that time, you know, December 17th to 22nd, I was actually a speaker. I was invited to be a speaker on a cruise ship that went down to some of the Mayan sites in Central America and the Yucatan in Mexico, places like Chichen Itza, Cozumel, and places like that. So my specific purpose was to inform people about the Vedic time cycles. So I was fortunate to be able to do that. But one feature of the Vedic time cycles is that although it's Kali Yuga, it is also a time of enlightenment, when enlightenment has been made very easy for people. You know, according to the Vedic cosmology, periodically there are avatars. God descends in different forms. You know, according to the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, the original form of God is Lord Krishna. And periodically he descends for the purpose of putting down the disturbances and giving people the opportunity for enlightenment. You know, those are the two purposes for which he comes. And the most recent avatar of Krishna was Lord Chaitanya, who appeared a little over 500 years ago in India, in Bengal, at a place called Mayapur. And he was giving people the opportunity to become enlightened by a very simple method, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. You know, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the yearly cycle is coming to an end tomorrow, and a new yearly cycle begins on Tuesday. So this is a significant event in the lives of people. And you know, we are going to be observing that transition from the end of one yearly cycle to the beginning of a new yearly cycle by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra congregationally. So it would be very nice if all of you took advantage of that opportunity. It's the right way to observe this cycle, the end of one cycle, the beginning of another. And because of the fact that Lord Chaitanya introduced this very simple method of self-realization and God-realization in the Kali Yuga, it's possible for there to be a golden age within the Kali Yuga. You know, I was stressing before the negative aspects of Kali Yuga, the increasing social and environmental disturbance. But there's another aspect of Kali Yuga. The opportunity for enlightenment has been made very easy by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he predicted that this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra would spread from India all over the world. And, you know, we see that that has happened. By the mercy of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, especially His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who came from India to this country in the 1960s to bring this process of the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to the people of the Western world. And from the United States, it then spread all over the world. So this was predicted long ago that this would happen. So you're living the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy. And you have the opportunity to participate in making that prophecy come true for others. There's some statements in the Vedic literature about this positive aspect of the age of Kali in which we now find ourselves living. Kalayar doshanadi rajan asti eko mahad gunad kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param vijayat. So, Kalayar doshanadi rajan. The age of Kali is an ocean of faults. You know, we can just look at all of the disturbances that are taking place in the world on the individual and collective level. And we can see that, yes, it is an ocean of faults. But according to this ancient Sanskrit text, there's one good thing about it, that even though it is an ocean of faults, by the simple method of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can achieve the highest goal of life, self-realization, God-realization, liberation from samsara, the cycle of birth and death. So, even though it's a very dark age, the chance for enlightenment and liberation is there. Yeah, there are many liberation movements. People want all kinds of liberation, but the most important liberation is liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Liberation from ignorance. Many people believe that the solution to the problems we face today is love. But the highest form of love is love of God. And if we develop that, then automatically we will be able to love all others on the proper spiritual platform. And this opportunity is there for us, even though we are in the Kali Yuga. It's just beginning. But Srila Prabhupada said that for 10,000 years, you know, beginning with the appearance of Lord Chaitanya 5,000 years ago, there will be, or there could be, a golden age within the Kali Yuga. Just like when winter is coming, sometimes there's some warm days, you know, before the winter comes with its full force. So, the Kali Yuga is just beginning, and we can see the bad effects of Kali Yuga all around us, but we can also see that there is a possibility for a golden age within the Kali Yuga, and it's predicted to last another 9,500 years, after which the Kali Yuga will proceed with its full force. So, And we should take advantage of that opportunity. We should understand what the cycles of time really are. You know, just like we understand the daily cycle, the seasonal cycle, we should also understand where we are in the cycle of yugas. And, you know, we should adjust our behavior accordingly. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Okay, thank you. Yes, we do that also. It's not possible to talk about every subject in every lecture, but you are very correct. One of the problems in Kali Yuga is the intense levels of violence, and that, of course, includes violence against animals. We are vegetarians because in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, we offer all our food to Lord Krishna, and in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says what types of foods he will accept as offerings, and they're vegetarian things. He doesn't say, offer me meat, fish, or eggs. So we follow that diet. We're promoting that spiritual, vegetarian, karma-free diet by distributing millions of vegetarian spiritual vegetarian meals each year through our temples, through our festivals, through our restaurants. Like at our temple here, we have our Govinda's restaurant. We have published millions of copies of vegetarian, spiritual vegetarian cookbooks that explain not only a vegetarian diet, but the law of karma. And how if we cause pain and suffering to other living things, it's going to come back on human society in one way or another. So there's a lot more to be said about it. And I thank you for your nice comment. Anybody else? Yes? Okay.
But my question was that if the Kali Yuga is going to end, like it, or if Kalki is going to annihilate, or, you know, start another Satya Yuga, how is it that in the 100, and I think you said like something about like 8 million years, that there's been a disaster? So how does that fit with the actual, like, Kali Yuga?
Okay. At the end of the Kali Yuga, the earth will not be destroyed. Kalki will come, and the earth at that time will be in a very deteriorated state. The plants will have disappeared. You know, animals will mostly be gone. people will be resorting to cannibalism according to the predictions. And there will only be a very few saintly people. They will have fled to the mountains. They'll just be hiding, you know, from the demoniac people who will be overrunning the earth at that time. So at that time, it said that this avatar Kalki will come and destroy those people, those at that time who are going to be very violent, we can't even imagine how bad they will be. If you look at the worst people today, and then you just think that's everybody or almost everybody, then you might get some idea of how bad things will be at that time. So Kalki will put an end to all of that, and then a new Satya Yuga will begin. But it won't be that the whole earth will be destroyed. There will just be a change of yugas. At the end of a Manvantara period, which will come in about 180 million years after, we're now in the 28th yuga cycle, at the end of the 74th cycle of four, excuse me, at the end of the 71st cycle of four yugas, there will be a devastation where a cosmic ocean will rise and will completely flood the earth. And then after that, you know, the earth will be populated by higher beings called Prajapatis, you know, who exist on some higher level of reality in the cosmos. So, at the end of the Kali Yuga, the earth won't be totally annihilated as it will be at the end of a Manvantara period. Okay, back to this side. Yes? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sometimes we see parallels. You know, if you look at the descriptions of Kalki, it is described that he will be riding a horse. So there may be parallels in other traditions as well. I'm not really that knowledgeable about all the specifics in the Christian revelation, but I think it's a nice point to bring out that there can be parallels like that. Yes? So the question is, does Lord Chaitanya appear in every Kali Yuga? According to the statements of Srila Prabhupada and the statements that are given about Lord Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam and books like the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Krishna appears once in a kalpa or day of Brahma. So that means once every 8,640,000,000 years, basically. So the fact that Krishna appeared just 5,000 years ago means we're very lucky, you know, to be that close to an appearance of Lord Krishna. And then the same sources say that after Lord Krishna appears, then Lord Chaitanya appears also once in a kalpa. So the fact that Lord Chaitanya appeared just 500 years ago means we're very fortunate to be that close to such an appearance of an avatar. So that's my best understanding. Yes? Some avatars are yuga avatars, which means they appear in every yuga. So I don't know 100% for sure, you know, if Kalki is considered to be in that category, but I think he is. You know, my best understanding, you know, is that he is. There are yuga avatars that appear in every yuga. Okay, how are we doing on time? Okay, we can take a few more. Yes, Prabhu?
I've been a devotee for 38 years, and all along I've always heard that the Kali Yuga stable. And now I hear that the
A devastation where the causal, where the Garbhadak ocean comes up and covers the earth, that happens at, that kind of cosmic devastation occurs at the end of a Manvantara and also at the end of a Kalpa. And there is a kind of devastation that occurs after, at the end of a Kali Yuga, but it appears to be the kind of devastation where Kalki kills the remaining demoniac persons who remain on earth. What's in the Bhagavatam? Yeah, I'm giving my best understanding from Shastra, and I've kind of made this a special area of study, but I'm prepared to be corrected if anything I'm saying is wrong, but it's my best understanding. Yeah. Well, hopefully I'm a devotee first. Okay, I'll take one more question.
I just like to find out, actually, maybe a short question. Is the word Kali Yuga also used in any other calendars? And since it is the Mayan calendar that just ended in 2012, and in the Vedic language, Mayan is illusion, would that suggest that the Kali Yuga's illusion has ended and that golden age that you speak about is basically here?
The two things don't necessarily contradict each other. That's a nice way to understand it. But we still understand that the Kali Yuga has 427,000 more years to go. So it's not finished yet. Although this golden age within the Kali Yuga, that we're in the first part of that right now. It began about 500 years ago with the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. It will continue for another 9,500 years.
I'm just thinking of the calendar. And is the Kali Yuga used in any other language or
Vedic and Vedic related.
Okay.
You know. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.